Hello? How about now? Yes? All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you today, God. We glorify your holy name, Father, because we know your presence is here, Lord. Lord, our hearts are seeking you, God. We came all the way here, Lord, to know, Father, that you will speak to us. You will touch us, O King of Glory, God. But Jehovah God, I pray, Father, that as we leave this place, Lord, that you have changed something in us, God, that we may give you honor, God, that we may give you glory, Father, in every part of our lives, O King of Glory, God. Pray for your Holy Spirit to come in and change us so that the things that we see, the things that we seek, O King of Glory, are things, Jehovah God, that pleases you, Lord. We just honor you, God, and we love you so, so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so the title for today is Christians Together Strong. Anybody know something close to where that comes from? So there's a movie called The Planet of the Apes. How many of you guys have watched that? Apes together strong, right? Apes together strong. So for all you guys who haven't heard about that, so I'll give you the small version because I love it and I can go into details, but we need to talk about the Word of God. So, so, and I'm talking about like the last three movies. So basically there was this ape, a human being, a scientist, did all the stuff, you know, tried to teach the ape and give him like different stuff so he could be smart. Long story short, he becomes very, very smart and now he's like almost as human. So it gets to a point where I'll skip. And so at the end of it all, humans are trying to eradicate the apes because they are this flu that they give humans and the humans are dying. But then the apes are striving. So they can think, they can come together, they can do stuff together. So they are strong together, right? And so there's this one scene, and that's where this story comes from, where humans are trying to do, so there's a bunch of human beings who have died because of the flu, because of this virus, they have died. And so you have now the apes, the human beings who are left, trying to destroy all the apes that they can. So the apes are getting together and they are planning together, they are getting together. And there's this one scene where the apes are saying, hey, you know, this, and it's, I think it's on the third one where they talk about the one of the apes takes like three sticks. So he takes one stick and just shows him and it's like, this one, it's easy to break. But then when you get three sticks together, you try to break them, then that's hard. And that's why it comes in, you know, ape strong together. And so when I was praying about this message and trying to figure out, so we are in the book of Acts right now, and if you guys haven't listened, so every Wednesday we are preaching on Acts. And if you guys haven't listened, go back and listen to it. So today we're going to be on Acts 12 to 14. So the apes, even though it's a movie, they realize that being together, they are stronger. Yes. And for us as Christians, being together actually makes us way more stronger, yes. Right? And so when we look at Acts 1, 12 to 14, it says, the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey, 1 mile away. When they entered the city, they went upstairs to the upper room where they were staying indefinitely. Can you guys say indefinitely? Yeah. That is Peter and John, his brother James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Nathanael and Matthew, James the son of that guy, and Simon Zealot and Judas, the son of James. All these, with one mind and one purpose, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, waiting together along with the women and Mary, mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So the disciples, they were waiting indefinitely. That's why I ask you guys to say it again. They knew that they had to wait because Jesus had told them, hey, go wait in Jerusalem. I will send the Holy Spirit, right? And so they knew that they had to wait indefinitely. They didn't have plan B. They chose to go and stay together. And then it also talks about they were all in one mind and one purpose, devoting themselves to prayer, waiting together. Think about that. As a Christian, as a church, the whole of us as a church, you know, just a Christian body. What would happen if all of us, we were in all in one mind and purpose? Yes. What would happen? And I know that sometimes when we read this verse saying, hey, Jesus told them to stay, you can argue that Jesus told them to stay. But actually the Bible says that Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem. He didn't tell them that they needed to stay in the same room, but they chose to stay in the same room. And we know by them staying together what that did for them. Because if you look at Luke 24:49, says, listen carefully. I'm sending a promise to my father, of my father, the Holy Spirit upon you. But you are to remain in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed, fully equipped with power from high. They were not told to stay in the same room. They were told to stay in Jerusalem. But they knew being together, they were stronger than being alone and divided. Yeah. Right? See, I was thinking about this and I'm like, Jesus just died, right? And he rose again and he went to heaven. So they are left and they know that the people who killed Jesus are still looking to destroy them. In my own human thinking, being in the same room, we become a big target, right? Yeah. We become a big target, right? And so, but they knew beyond that, because they were not depending on their own human nature, that they will be okay. And so when we as Christians, we are together, we need something extra. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God to come between, because if we are just together, just like that, we are just one big target. And that way, it's not helping us in any way. See, think about it. The whole idea of togetherness is not something that we just feel. It's who we are. God created us to have a void in us, and that void needs to be filled with companionship. Everybody has a void. I don't care what you have. I don't care what you do. I don't care what happened. You have a void. God created us to have a void. And that void is going to be filled with something. Right? Because you think about it, Genesis 3:18 says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool afternoon breeze on the day. So the man and the wife hid and kept themselves hidden from the presence of God. But the Lord called to Adam and said, where are you? So in the Garden of Eden, God is walking around so that he can come and hang out with Adam and Eve. Yes. He knew that they cannot do by themselves. He wanted to come and fill that void, that relationship that we have, yes. Right? But then they sinned, and so that relationship was broken. God still knew that there was a void in us. And if we don't fill that void with something, something else that's not holy is going to come in. Because we have two options, right? A void, you're either going to fill your void with Jesus, or the devil is going to take resident. And that's why the Bible says in Matthew 12:40, says, now when the unclean spirit has gone out of man, it roams through waterless, dry, arid places in search for rest, but it doesn't find it. Then it says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when I arrive, it finds the place unoccupied, swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings 7 other spirits more wicked than itself. And then it goes in and make their home. And the last condition of that man become worse than the first. So it will also be with the wicked generation. So the spirit leaves. And then if nothing, the key word here is unoccupied. If there's nothing occupying their heart, they will come back. And you think about it, it says, it finds a place unoccupied, swept and put in order. So you did your part. You woke up in the morning, you read your Bible, you came to church on Sunday, you came to church on Wednesday. But that's just sweeping. That's why every single day we have to fill ourselves with the word. Because that gap you have, whether it's from Wednesday to Sunday, the house is unoccupied. And we need the Spirit of God to come and reside in us every single day. So when you talk about the word, it's not just Wednesday, it's not just Sunday. It's every single day, because you have to feel that in your heart. Yes. See, we are not meant to be alone, and disciples understood this, that even though they were a big target, they were strong. And you think about it too, even ourselves, we don't like hanging out by ourselves. Why do you think there's peer pressure? Anybody ever succumb to peer pressure? No? Sooner. You think about peer pressure is somebody wants to do something. Let's say we're going to start with the bad part, right? Somebody wants to do something bad. And they're like, I don't want to do it alone. I want to call somebody so we can go together. See, you think that it's just, as a parent, I'm like, that's bad influence. Or my mom is here, so she's like, that's bad influence. But it is not really, it is bad influence. But the point is, everybody has a void that they need a companion to be there. Right? And so what happens is, now you want to go do something. You need somebody to go do it with you. Same thing, we celebrate birthdays together. You throw a party because you don't want to be by yourself. It is something that's been created in us. Same thing, we watch Super Bowl. Why do you want to watch Super Bowl with people? You can watch TV by yourself, right? But we all get together, we cook together. My point is, you have a void, and I hope you get that point. You have a void. 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 That void, you're either going to look, and there's nothing wrong with hanging out with people, but it just brings a point that we are not meant to be alone. And as Christians, for some reason, we've thought that we can be able to do it all ourselves. If you can't even watch Super Bowl by yourself, if you can't celebrate your own birthday, if you can't go do all the crazy things all by yourself, why do we think us as Christians, we can just walk around all by ourselves without our sisters and brothers? Right? Right? See, when we realize that we are not meant to be together, then we know our potential. And we know how our heart will be filled with something either good or evil. Then we can plan accordingly. Because when you realize where you are, and you realize what you are capable of, and when you realize that no matter how good you are, no matter how good you are that you have a void, then you know that you need Christ. You need your brothers and sisters who are in Christ. So then that way you can fill that void, right? See, even after the fall, where Adam and Eve left the garden, God knew that we'd never be successful by ourselves. And over, he tried to reconcile us to him. He chose a race, the Israelites, so that he could show his love through them, and then through them the rest of the world would know. He would not leave us alone because he knew what he created in us. But even that failed, right? He's like, I'm going to make this race my race. They're going to go out there and tell everybody about them. I'll be their God. They'll be my children. But even that failed, right? Then he doesn't give up because he knows he created us with a void. And so what does he do? He sends his only son to come and bridge that gap, right? Still knowing that we are separated from God. And Ephesians 2:4, it says, but God, being so very rich in mercy, because of his great and wonderful love with which he loved us, even when we were spiritually dead and separated from him because of our sin, he made us spiritually alive together with Christ. For by his grace, his undeserving favor and mercy, you have been saved from God's judgment. The key words are there. So even when we are dead and separated because of our sins. And then it talks about we are alive together. So God is saying that you cannot do anything by yourself. You're going to be filled with something. You're either going to be filled with God or you're going to be filled with the world. See, do you see what's happening here? Our maker knows that we don't do good alone, not even for a second. And again, I do not understand why we as Christians would want to walk alone. Because we've been given to each other. Think about the disciples. They knew that they could go. They knew that they could have been a big target. But they still decided to be together. They still decided that being together in one accord, that was what was needed. As Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, two are better than one because they have a more satisfying return for their labor. For if either of them fall and the one lifts up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And though one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Again, Christian, together, strong. Even in the movie, you see it. You see that one stake is breaking. A Christian alone, you become a target. But when you have 3, 4, 5 more Christian, then we become strong together, right? So at the end of the day, if you don't listen to anything else, just know Christian together strong, okay? See, because the thing is, the devil is seeking to divide and conquer. 1 Peter 5:28 says, be sober, well balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all time. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. Yeah. So he's looking for that one stick. He's looking for that division. He's looking for that one Christian who's sitting somewhere, not joined together with other Christians, and that's who he's gonna attack, right? Can I confess something to you guys? I love reality TV. Who loves reality TV here? Three of you, perfect. However, the kind of reality TV I like is National Geographic. You know why? That's the real reality TV. Anything else that's acted and scripted, that is not reality TV. Okay? But the animals in the African jungle, right? That's reality TV. You're not going to tell a lion to do something different. It's going to be a lion, right? So that is the true reality TV, right? And that's why I love, because it's not scripted. You know, the dude might be talking and trying to think about what the lions are doing or all that stuff. I'm like, dude, I know what they are doing. I can see. It's reality TV, right? So you think about it, and especially like this episode I've been watching, The Salvage Kingdom. I'm not promoting it, but it's really awesome because they follow lions and all that stuff. It's on National Geographic. And there's a few things you can learn. The lions, people say that they are lazy. They just sit down, they just lay down all day, and then when it's time to hunt, they just get up and go. But what people don't really understand is the lions are very, very, very smart. They'll lie down, they'll sleep, but they'll watch. They'll spend 10 hours just watching an animal. Sometimes they'll spend even 2 or 3 days watching a pack of buffaloes. They'll just watch them slowly by slowly. And when the Bible likens the devil to a roaring lion, before he roars, he's watching you every single moment. And the same thing with the lions. You know, I've seen them. They just lie down and they watch. Then guess what? They identify. Usually the weak one. They identify the weak one. And then they talk among themselves in lion language. Okay. And then they strategize. They are like, okay, dude, you're going to go on the left. You're going to scare the whole herd. We are still looking at that one little one right there, okay? So when you go this one, then the Oscar, the weak one, will pull back behind a little later. And then you go and you cut him off. And now we got him all covered. I hope this translates. Because that's what the devil is doing. He looks at, yes, you're coming to church every Sunday. You're coming here on Wednesday. But you're not in your word at all. All your brothers and sisters are praying. They are fasting. Not just the 21 days, they are fasting. Like really fasting out of praying and worshiping, right? They are doing all these things to keep themselves strong. And so guess what? The devil ain't gonna be like, oh, they're all praying and they're all coming to church. He's gonna choose the weak one. And he's not just gonna choose you, he's gonna strategize. He's going to watch you. He's going to watch your patterns. He's going to watch everything you do, no matter what. And then him and his demons are going to strategize. And they'll target. And they'll start coming after you. And then when everything is shaken, it could be the news or whatever is happening around you. It could be whatever, you know, insert blank, whatever. It could be anything. When everybody else is scared, and when everything scares and it looks really grim, those who are strong will outrun the devil. But those who are weak will be quarantined. Now they'll be selected and they'll be all by themselves right there. See, I watch, the biggest thing is I've watched like buffaloes and elephants, man. You think nothing is going to touch them at all. You think they are big and nothing is going to touch them. But you see those lions, they have a strategy. The females, they just run, they start, they isolate. And then they start turning around, nipping. Slowly, they're just, the buffalo or the elephant is just circling around, getting tired. Yeah. So the devil is going to start attacking your kids. He's going to attack your job. He's going to attack the things that matter to you. But he's not going to come all the way down. He's going to start slowly by slowly. Make you tired. Pull you down. And you have no fight anymore. Again, because you are separated. You don't have your brothers and sisters to shield you, to bring you together. Christians, together, strong. Right? And so what happens is, you see that buffalo is strong, and I'm like, dude, you can wipe all these lions down. But they've been circling for about 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour. Finally, the big lion comes in, and it just jumps on top of it, and it brings it down. Yeah. Isolated. Yeah. Strategize. Then you're down. Yeah. That's what the devil does. And that's why the Bible is talking about that. We expect him to be a roaring lion, like, rah, scare. No. He roars when he brings you down because he knows he already got you. Right? So I say, if you want to watch some reality TV, watch National Geographic. Even better, take a safari to Kenya. I know some guys from there. See, the enemy is watching your family. He's watching your environment. He's watching every part of your life. He's looking for weakness. The enemy is looking for a way in, and that translates to your spiritual life. Name any struggle in your life right now. Don't say loud, but name it in your head. Okay. Name any struggle in your life, and I'll tell you what. If you pay attention, you can trace it to how it's going to rob you of a relationship with God. It doesn't matter what it is. Name whatever issue you're struggling with right now. And then identify the enemy, and you will see what he's trying to do. He is trying to bring you down. He's trying to break that relationship between your brothers and sisters. He's trying to break that relationship between you and God. But we have to know. Because if we identify the enemy, then we can defend ourselves. We can stay in our words. We can pray. We can fast. We can worship through whatever, because we know that we are strong. We can call our brothers and sisters, just like the disciples. We can be together in one common goal, right? See, we can allow the devil to separate us. See, I see it all the time. Finances are a mess. There's sickness. There's marriage issue. There is whatever. And people stop coming to church. They don't want to have a relationship with other believers. They just want to be by themselves. Because let me fix this first and then I'll come. But you are just walking right into the trap, man. You are just walking to the next trap. You just became the next meal in the African jungle. See, the disciples knew that together was option A. And yes, there was no option B. When verse 13, when they had entered the city, they went upstairs to the upper room where they were staying indefinitely. They were in one accord, praying together. And so my question for you today is, as a church, when we are together, what part are you playing in the upper room, if you are in the upper room? Are you trying to tear people apart? Are you trying to tear Christians apart? Are you helping the devil to break that three strand stick? Are you pulling one stick at a time? Or are you bringing more sticks so that we can be strong together? Are you looking outside the window, hoping that you can go into the city alone? Are you here? They were in one accord. They did not look outside. This was option A, and that was it. Do you have option B? And so, yeah, you might say, no, I don't have option B. But when things go crazy, or when you are in your best, when things are amazing, is this the place that you are where you can be in one accord? Yeah. Or are you out there? Are you looking the window hoping to go out there and hang out? Please don't. Because then you'll be separated. Yeah. You'll be conquered. And you'll be brought down. Yeah. Is fear of what is outside these walls keeping you from being in one mind? Is fear submitting to each other? Asking somebody that I'm going through something and I need you to pray with me? Saying, hey brother, listen, I'm struggling with this. Hey sister, I'm struggling with this. Can you pray with me? Can you fast with me? Are you scared of how they're going to look? Because I'll tell you what, outside those doors, it's worse than just submitting to each other.
Yeah, right.
It is way worse out there. And it's until we submit ourselves and then, of course, submit to your Christian brother who are strong in Christ, who are going to lift you up. But if you decide to do it alone, it's not going to be good for you.
Yeah.
God is doing something greater here at Faith and Victory. Are you willing to stay here and be the church, pray and worship in one mind and purpose till something happens? See, Acts 2:24, it says, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like a rushing violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were being distributed among them, and they rested on each one of them as each person received the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out clearly and appropriately. Are you going to be here when the sound of a rolling wind is coming to Faith and Victory? Are you in the room? And when I talk about the room, you can't just be sitting in the room just like that. The disciples were in one accord, praying and devoting to each other. All these with one mind and one purpose were continually devoted and themselves to prayer. And you wonder if you don't know what's the mind and the purpose of our church here. Submit and die to self. Turn away from your evil desires and put God in everything that you do. So if that's not what you're doing, then we are not in one accord. You have your own idea of what that is, but it's not. You have to die to self. You have to turn away from evil. And I'm not just saying a little turn. You gotta turn all the way around and walk away from evil. Right? And then make sure that you put God first in everything else. Right? The disciples knew that there was power in numbers. And when they stayed together in unity, the great things happened. The disciples were like-minded. They put aside personal position and took common goals. True unity is an act of grace. The disciples were in like-minded. They put aside their personal position. Is personal position making you walk away from Christ? What are the personal positions? What are the things that I gotta have this? I gotta do this. I cannot relate with this. I'm not like them. Those are personal things. And what they do is they separate you. Right? They had to let everything go. When you say that I'm gonna be in that room indefinitely, Jesus didn't tell them, hey, I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit in 5 days. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to sell the house to be in 20 years. He didn't say that. But when they walked in there, guess what?
Yeah.
They decided that they were there indefinitely.
Yes.
They cut out everything personal. And they sought God together. Are you willing to do that today? Are you really willing to do that?
Yes.
See, this is why we ought not fight against our brothers and sisters. I cannot stand division in the church.
Amen.
I cannot.
Amen.
I cannot stand division in the church.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how small it is. The devil is always looking for a crack.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter even if filling the gap. It doesn't matter what. But division in the church is the worst thing. You know why? Let's go back to my National Geographic, okay? My reality TV, right? The giraffe is one of the most animal that's never eaten. Or the big elephant, they get to an age, they're huge, right? So what happens to the giraffe? He can see so far, he can see a lion coming at any point. But do you know how many times I've seen a giraffe going down because their lions attacked it? Do you know how it happened? Like the last time I watched it? You guys want to know?
Yes.
So next week we'll talk about, no, just kidding. Now, so what happens is, you see these two giraffes, huge, mighty. They can see far. They can see and they can run too. Man, they do one stride, the lion is like 50 strides. Two strides is like 100 strides. So they outline the lions anytime. But you see these two giraffes, they're fighting. And they're not watching. They're not watching. You see two elephants, like the father elephants, which are humongous. They're fighting. And what happens? They're not watching. But when they're not watching, guess who's watching? My favorite lions. Right? Simba is watching. Right? But in all reality, think about it. Isn't that the same thing? Doesn't matter how strong of a Christian you are. It doesn't matter how strong of a Christian you are. It doesn't matter how anointed you are. The minute you start fighting, dividing with each other, yes, you are as weak as the little gazelle that is all by itself. See, today is the time to set out our difference, to set aside our differences. To crucify our wants so that we can wait upon the Holy Spirit to fall. Amen. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in this moment here, that moment right there carried the work that Jesus had already started. Because they were obedient. Look around the world today. Look around today. The world is hurting, man. The world is hurting. But God is looking around and saying, whom can I send? Whom shall I send? I need people who I can fill with the Holy Spirit. I need people that I send. Are you willing to say, here I am, send me? Are you willing to say that? Have you positioned yourself in a place where you are sendable? I know it's not a proper English word, but are you sendable? I couldn't find another word, okay, that just captures that. Because it's like, are you really, can God come and send you? Is your heart in the right place for God to send you? Just so you know, if you wait and pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you and I will receive the Holy Spirit. And we have the responsibility to rebuild the church. We have the responsibility to rebuild the church in general. I'm not talking about faith and victory, but it's included. The church as a whole. Look at the world out there. And this is not in my notes. You guys will give me a few minutes. But this is not in my notes. I told Eva, I asked her, can I use this? He's like, God has need of it. So today, I think it was part of her devotion she was doing and she shared with me. And she said, you think about John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist prepared the way for Christ. He went out there, he ate locusts, he didn't care about what he had, he didn't care whatever position he had, right? He was devoted to clear the way for Jesus to come, right? Now think about it. Jesus came and people had an opportunity to give their life to Christ. So he prepared a way and Jesus came and he changed lives. He did that. We have been called to go and spread the word. Same thing like John the Baptist, right? We have the same to go out there and tell people of Christ, to tell them so they can know Christ. But this is the point that got me. John the Baptist, when he came, he did an amazing, he had urgency, he did a really, really amazing job, right? And he had people prepare and wait for Christ. You have been called. So then that way you can prepare the way for Christ coming back. But the difference is, John was preparing for Christ to come as a lamb. Right? So there will be an opportunity for people to get saved, for people to come to Christ. We have been called to prepare the way so that Christ can come as a lion. So I'm not saying John did not have a very important task, but don't you think we as Christians have even so more of a task because after Jesus come, there is no more repentance. So if you're not going out there and being like John and preaching to people and telling them of the hope that you have, what are you robbing them? John, at least during John, they had an opportunity. But once Christ comes in, what's going to happen? We have been called to go out there and be disciples. That's all from Eva, but from Christ. See, I understand there is fear and, you know, there's fear of logistics and stuff, you know. And it's like, how are we going to do this? You know, hey, how am I going to do this? But Christ is telling us that we need to be like children. Mark 10:19 says, I assure you and most solemnly to you, whoever does not receive and welcome the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. And he took the children one by one in his arm and blessed them with kind encouraging word, placed his hand on them. We have to accept that Christ is going to take care of us. And when you think about kids, this is an interesting part. If I told my daughter today, honey, I'm going to take you to go and do karate. You're going to be a ninja. You're going to be a ninja. She'll be like, yes, I'll be a ninja. And I bet you she might even go to the, you know, whatever and be like, how does a ninja dress? And dress. She just accepts what I say. You're going to be a ninja? She just does it. But you think I'm an adult. If I came and I told you, Pastor Matt, you're going to be a ninja. Well, let me tell you something. Ninjas are not real. Okay. You know, ninjas, you know, they, you know, I'm going to have to go pay somebody. I have to go through white belt, green belt. You see why the kingdom of God is like that? The disciples were told, I'm going to send you something that's going to be greater than me. They had never seen the Holy Spirit. Yes. Go, don't leave the city. I will send you something. You get that? Yes. And they just said, yes, Lord. And that's why God is saying, stop thinking about how am I going to preach to the people? How am I going to talk to them? What am I going to tell them? Just be obedient. Yes. You're going to be a ninja. Okay? See, the disciples had a reason to fear because Jesus had been taken away. But they knew that God was sending them something stronger, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they chose to stay and wait. We are way better. We have proof of the Holy Spirit. We have proof of the promise of God. The Holy Spirit is real. We know that. So what's our excuse of not staying together in one mind and purpose? John 14:26, but the comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things and he will help you to remember everything that I have told you. Yeah. Yeah. He will teach you all things. He just need your obedience. The only thing that disciples wanted was they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and their only prerequisite was obedience. Yeah. Ephesians 1:13 says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation, and believed in him, we were stamped with a seal of the promised Holy Spirit, the one promised by Christ as owned and protected by God. We are owned and protected by God. So go in confidence. Go in confidence. Don't be scared of human beings. Because you are owned and protected by God. Amen. Jude 20:23 says, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in the most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourself safe in love, in God's love, and you must show mercy to those who are whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do not, with great caution, hating the sin that contaminates them. So the key word here is by snatching them. We have been sent, go out there. But then, don't go and linger in sin. Snatch them. Think about it. When you need to snatch something, you don't even want to touch it. If you want to snatch something from the fire, dude, you're not going to keep your hand there in the fire for 5 minutes waiting to snatch it, right? You're just going to pull it. So the Bible says snatch it out. See, we have a work to do. We are our brother's keepers. But be careful not to fall in sin. You need to hate the sin that contaminates your life and know that you are prone to that contamination. If you stick there, if you don't snatch them out, you'll be one of those. And the last verse here, Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, whom by faith have testified to the truth of God's obedience faithfully, stripping off every unnecessary weight and sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, Let us run with endurance and active persistence that race is set before us. Look away from all that will distract you. Focus your eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the perfecter of faith. Who for joy set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God, revering his deity, his authority, and completion. So strip of every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. You are being watched. You are being watched every single day. And the things that are, the weight that's pulling you down, whatever that is, insert blank in your life. That is what's going to get you. That's what's going to make you, no matter how strong you are as a Christian, to fall down. This is a time to wait in the room, press in and long desperately for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us, equip us and strengthen us. The enemy is preparing and the attacks are coming. Now is when you get ready. Now is the time to come together as one body in Christ. Christians together strong. Christians together strong. Christians together strong. Christians together. Let's all stand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you today, God. We thank you, Father, because you've already gone before us, God. You've already gone before us, but yet you say, Lord, you're going to come and take us with you and walk with us, oh God. You've already equipped us with the Holy Spirit, God. You've already done the things that are necessary for us, Father, to go out there, King of Glory, and snatch people out of the miseries of this world, oh God. But more so, Father, we know that there's that sin that entangles us, Father. That Jehovah God, if we are not strong together, Lord, that Jehovah God, we will fall, Lord. And so tonight, King of Glory, Father, we are coming against that division. Whatever it is, Father, we come against in the precious name of Jesus, God. And we speak unity in church, O King of Glory, God. We speak unity between you and us, O King of Glory, God. We shun off anything, God, that is trying to separate us, O King of Glory. And Jehovah God, we ask you to search our hearts tonight, O God. Search our hearts, O King of Glory, God, and review those anxious moments, those things that haven't even happened, O God. So Jehovah God, we can stay in your Father, O King of Glory, God. Mighty King of Glory, we have submissive heart tonight, O God. Asking you, God, to reveal, Father, how we can move forward a strong church, O God. How we can move forward, O King of Glory, as a people you've called, O God. How we can affect people, O King of Glory, God. Because I know that your Holy Spirit is here, God. And you're sending us out, Father. But we're going to be together, King of Glory, God. We praise you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Have a good day. Good night. Get your kids, and I'll see you Sunday.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team. Thank you for